Jeremiah 8, and I'll draw your attention to only three verses, and that is 20 to 22. Jeremiah 8, 20 to 22. It's good to be back to the pulpit after a couple of weeks away to America, where I was attending a conference, a pastor's conference, and also preached in a couple of churches. And I bring greetings from the people of God at City View Baptist Church in New York City. Jeremiah 8 and verse 20 again, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? As was announced earlier on, this day marks the beginning of the special evangelistic campaign for the month of November. And the evangelism core group have advised us that the theme of the campaign is harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. In this sermon, I wish to capture something of the spirit of this theme statement, which is, of course, a quotation from Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. The statement gives poignant expression to the anguish that fills the heart of man who realizes that his day of opportunity is past and that the door of hope appears to be closed against them forever. In the context in which this statement was made, Israel and Judah in particular, as God's chosen nation, was expected to offer their undivided attention to God. Alas, Israel was persistently disloyal to their God. She had time and time again turned from God, worshipped false gods, and refused to have the Lord rule over her life. As a result, she was not allowed to go unpunished. She was made to reap the fruit of her apostasy. And for the time being, she was left to be a prey to her approaching enemies. In the morning Bible study, our brother, Mr. Ngoma, in the adult class, reminded us of the punishment God brought to bear upon the nation of Israel. They had sinned, and God was going to use a more wicked nation to punish them for their sin. And Jeremiah here captures a similar thing. A more wicked nation was approaching from the north to punish Israel. Warned again and again by Jeremiah of that approaching enemy and of that approaching captivity, they would not repent of their sins. Rather, their speech was not right, according to verse 6 of Jeremiah 8. Their stupidity was evident according to verse 7. In their stubbornness, they rejected the word of the Lord. In their selfishness, they gave themselves to covetousness. Every one of them, from prophets to priests to the very lowly and ordinary of their citizens, they had all elected to sin against God. Well, eventually, the Babylonian armies arrived and surrounded Jerusalem. And even though their enemies were at their doorstep, they somehow believed that another great power, namely the Egyptians, would come over and help them and deliver them from the Babylonians. And they believed that the Egyptians would come soon enough, before harvest time, before summer arrived, the Egyptians would come to their aid and rescue them. Surely, they thought to themselves, before the ripening harvest, the siege would end, and they would be able to gather their harvest and have their food aplenty. So there was no need to repent. There was no need to turn to God. Excuse me. There was no need to serve this God. They would be delivered by the arm of flesh in the form of the Egyptians. But the siege grew tighter and tighter about them. Gaunt salvation, or rather starvation, stalked through the city. Children were starving and dying because the crops wasted in the fields. The Egyptians were nowhere to be seen. The disappointed cry of these Jews, now doomed to death or enslavement, was, "The harvest is past. We thought the Egyptians would have come by now, but the harvest has passed. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. We have been left to starve." Indeed, they only had two choices, to starve or to surrender to the Babylonians. They chose to surrender. Consequently, Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity, and Jerusalem was destroyed. Jeremiah had reason to weep, didn't he? In chapter 9 and verse 1, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." He had reason to cry because of this tragedy that had come upon his nation. They had an opportunity to repent, and they had an opportunity to be saved, but they left that opportunity slip away, and so found themselves under the judgment of God. Well, in the same way, you may have lost the opportunity to be saved thus far. You may have had many such opportunities to be saved over the years, but you may have lost them. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a physician and a balm that can heal your sin and bring about your salvation. But before we talk about salvation, I would like us to acknowledge the tragedy of wasted opportunity. For Judah, it meant that they had time to hear the message of Jeremiah, and they had time to heed these warnings and to repent and avoid destruction at the hands of the Babylonians. They would have spared their crops and their lives, but they did not listen. They lost their opportunity. The question is, what does this lost opportunity look like for you? It can have a sixfold complexion, and I want to speak about that this morning. First, notice that the harvest is past and summer is ended when there are no more people burdened to share the gospel with you. You need to realize how fortunate you are to be in a home where your parents share the gospel with you daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And you need to realize how fortunate you are to be in a church where the pastor and other preachers can counsel you about how to be converted, how to leave your sin behind you, how to follow Christ. But the point is, someday soon, there may be no one to counsel you. There may be no one interested in sharing the gospel with you. There may be no one to preach to you. There may even be no one to pray for you, to pray for your conversion. I read about a well-known preacher in America who wrote about driving through the mountains south of Sacramento in the United States of America with a preacher friend of his. Neither of them knew where they were going. There was no one late at night to show them the way. It was frightening to be way out in the woods on the mountainside late at night with no one to help them find the way home. And this is the way it will be for some of you someday. You will be alone and there will be no one to show you how to get saved. Don't miss the harvest when there are reapers, when there are people to speak to you, when there are people to point you to Christ. Don't let it be said of you, harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Secondly, the harvest is past and the summer is ended when your youthfulness passes. The vast majority of people are converted while young. If I were to ask here, when you were converted, many of you will point to a day and time when you were still very young. Many Bible verses teach us that you should get saved while you are still young. In Proverbs, for example, we read these words in chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early find me. Those that seek me early find me. In Matthew 19 and verse 14, Jesus said, suffer or allow little children to come to me. Do not stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Children. The kingdom of God belongs to such as you. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, the wise man says, remember now, your Creator, in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, before the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now, your Creator, in the day of your youth. The time of youthfulness is therefore the best time to be saved. But when you allow your youthfulness to pass, you will have literally allowed harvest to come and go, summer to come and go. And they will leave you unsaved. Your chances get less and less every year. Nearly every moral and spiritual habit is learned while young. Habits of decency and self-control, obedience to parents, telling the truth, respecting the rights of others, all of these must be learned while young. Some have suggested by the age of 5. It is too late for these to be a consistent part of your character when you have not learnt them in your youth. In adolescence years, young people become powerfully affected by sex and questions of right and wrong. At a time when they are making decisions about school, about careers, about life companions, they must have the right character. And that character must be formed when they are still younger. Because sooner rather than later, the problems of life will sweep them away. They will become busy and they will be lost in the busyness of life and forget about the most important decisions of life. In the day of your youth, remember your Creator. And yet there are some, perhaps some even here, who don't care to take advantage of your youthfulness and make the decisions that matter the most now. I was told only this morning that there are teenagers here who have the habit of going out during the service. They spend their time outside there. And somewhere close to the end of the service, they walk back in so that it might appear that they have been here, when all the time they were outside, talking and playing on their phones, not willing to listen to God's word and to worship. That is what wasting your opportunity looks like. It is those moments when you're out there not minding the gospel, not minding the importance of caring for your souls. That may make the difference between life and death for you, between salvation and damnation for you. Today, therefore, while you are still young, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let be said of you, harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Thirdly, the harvest is past and the summer is ended when there are no special dealings of God with you anymore. Being in church every Sunday to hear the gospel is a special arrangement of God. Growing up in a Christian family where your parents are committed to teaching you the gospel is a special arrangement of God. When Christians come to your house sharing the gospel, you have right there before you a special arrangement of God. And it is in those arrangements that God deals with you. But one of these days, those arrangements may not be there. The church may not be there in the place where you are. Your family may no longer be there. Christians who come over to your house to share the gospel may no longer be there. And so the places and the moments and the opportunities when God would be wrestling with your soul will have been gone. Long gone. So you need to take advantage of these special arrangements and times. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Don't let it be said of you, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Fourthly, the harvest is past and the summer is ended when you are no longer convicted of sin. There are times and opportunities when you hear the gospel, you hear the word preached, and it affects you. It troubles your conscience. It makes you ask questions about your soul, about your destiny. It moves you to want to change. But a time may come when you will no longer be affected in that way. When your heart will become hard, you will hear the gospel so many times. It may be preached ever so powerfully, but it will leave you completely untouched, completely unaffected. You will often blame the preacher that you are not being affected, that you are not being moved. You may even blame the church that you are not being affected or moved, when the truth is that your heart has become hard. That the opportunity and privilege you once had to be affected has been removed. And you are now no longer positioned to be affected in such a way as to begin to seek salvation. Because God will have withdrawn himself. John chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him." No lost person like you can be saved unless God awakens you to your sin, unless God shows you the terrible and desperate condition in which you are. Maybe you used to see that, but not anymore. When you no longer don't see it, you no longer are disturbed by preaching, by the word of God, you no longer feel guilty or lost, or perhaps backslidden. There is little hope. When there is less and less concern on your part about how you stand before God, there is little hope. When there is no interest in Christ and in eternity, there is little hope. When the heart is becoming more and more hardened, there is little hope. When you are indifferent to spiritual matters, there is little hope. That is a condition in which the Spirit will have decided no longer to strive with you. Previously, when you hear the gospel, when you hear the word, there will be some interest, and then you forget, and the Spirit comes back again and prompts your heart, and there is interest, and you forget again, but the Spirit comes back again and prompts you. But a day will come when that door will be closed. There will be no more Spirit to contend with you. No more Spirit to disturb your conscience. God will have given up on you. You will die in your sin, and you will go to hell as a consequence. Don't let it be said of you, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Be saved now. Fifthly and finally, the harvest is past and the summer has ended when life itself will certainly and suddenly end. You know, you can only come to salvation when you are alive. Now, when you die without the gospel and without Christ, you will have lost your opportunity for good. Harvest is past and summer has ended when life itself will certainly and suddenly end. I have said that the harvest of youth passes away very quickly. And some of you who are youths can already begin to feel the changes in your body which are telling you that you are not as young as you were yesterday. You are growing older all the time.
Death is nearer to you than it ever was. The problem is that you are not yet saved. You haven't yet come to Christ. And you may die sooner than you realize. Some of you are already old. Death for you is more of a reality. It's very close. You think about it more often than you did before. And yet, you are not saved. And God, over time, has spoken to you and warned you in ever so many ways. Each of those times when you were sick, God was calling you to repent. God was calling you to salvation. But you are not yet saved. Each of those moments when you experience trouble in life, difficulties of one form or the other, God was calling you to repent, to come to salvation. Those were opportunities to close in with God. But you let them go by. You are still not saved. You let those harvest times and those summer times pass away from you. And you are still not saved. And one of these days, you will die. And you may die suddenly. And if you die without Christ, you will slide into a hopeless eternity. A few months ago, I remember being awakened by a phone call. A voice on the other side informed me that her brother, a brother in the Lord, had been hit by a car and that he had died. He had gone out as usual to ride his bicycle for exercise purposes. He had every intention of returning home, but he didn't. The good news is that he was ready to die. He was saved. You may die in a similar way. One of these days, you may go out on a run, or you may go out on a ride, and you may never come back. But the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready to die? Death, when it comes, does not always warn us. Actually, very often, it comes very suddenly. But will it find that you have already taken advantage of the harvest times, of the summer? Will it find you ready? I read this story about a large, healthy man. This was in Texas, who leaned on the tent ropes and listened to the preaching, mocked at the invitation, laughed at the personal worker, the preacher, who pleaded with him to get saved. A few months later, he lay on his bed, screaming, "Oh God, give me more time. I've got to have time to repent. Give me more time. Oh God, I'm not ready to die. His last conscious word was one of horror. What must have been the fearful awakening on the other side of death for this man? No doubt, he went to hell. His harvest had passed and gone forever. His summer had passed and also gone forever. Are you perhaps like that man? You mock at the gospel. You mock at those who preach it. You mock at those who are trying to be righteous because you think you are better than them. You're more civilized than them. I heard somebody on television refer to conservative evangelicalism as nonsense. She called it this conservative evangelical nonsense. She was a feminist, a progressive feminist. No time for the gospel and no time for righteousness. She has a lot of time for liberalism, for living a life that is not prescribed or commanded by God. If she died in that state, she would experience a hopeless eternity, just like this large, healthy man. Don't let it be said of you, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you will not have been saved. I want to conclude in this way. First, to make a comment on Judah. Because this Jeremiah context is about Judah. Judah did not see salvation come by harvest time. They had hopes that the Egyptians would come and save them from the Babylonians. They didn't need to repent. Egypt would come. They didn't need to heed Jeremiah's warning to surrender to the Babylonians and save their lives, save their crops. They hoped in the arm of flesh in Egypt. But Egypt did not come. And so they lost out. They were overwhelmed by an enemy nation. Well, how about you? Have you allowed many harvests and summers to go past and you are still not saved? Have you been neglectful of the opportunities that have come your way to be saved? Many opportunities, but you are still not saved. Well, I want to say to you as I end that because you are still alive, there is hope. There is still hope. You happen to have opportunity still to receive the salvation of the Lord. Because now, as before, as described in various places in this book, the cry of human distress, harvest is past, summer is ended, is answered by the voice of divine mercy. And what does it say? Well, it comes in the form of these rhetorical questions in verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Are you Israelites suffering because there is no physician? Are you famished? Are you in sin and in danger of being damned forever because there is no balm? The question is clear, but so is the answer. Yes, there is a balm in Gilead. And there is a physician there. The voice suggests that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is a physician there. In other words, there is a healer. There is Christ. If you are alive today, you still have a Savior who calls upon you daily and weekly and monthly and yearly. He is calling upon you right now. Come to me, he says. All you who are heavy, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may have missed that opportunity in the past, and the other opportunity. And so you are still not saved. But here again is an opportunity for you. He is able to take away the sin that corrupts you, the burdens that weigh you down. He is able to take away the sin that separates you from God. Do you feel corrupted and burdened and separated from God today? And do you sense the danger that awaits you in hell? Come to Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God who has made sin for us, who has made sin for you. He himself did not know any sin. But you do know sin. You do have sin. You do bear sin. And Christ was made the Lamb upon which your sin would be laid. So he would take it away, so that in turn you might become the righteousness of God. He is the way and the truth and the life. If you would come to God, if you would know how to be saved, if you would have life, you must come to Jesus. And you must do it now. Don't allow another opportunity to go past. Don't laugh at this call to you to repent. Don't laugh at it as you have done in the past. Don't ignore it as you have done so many other times before. This is your opportunity. Repent of your past. Seize the offer of the gospel and be saved. Or else you will say someday, when you are in hell, harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I am not saved. And then you will understand exactly why. And you will accept it. And you will be able to say, I am here, burning, separated from God, from his favors forever, because I let that harvest pass. I let that summer pass.